Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm Gordon Smart. Very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast. Producer Vin is here, as always, keeping things tight.
I'm doing clicking today.
You're doing a lot of clicking, Vin. You tell you what, you've been right on it this week, haven't you?
I think it's been quite laid back, hasn't it?
You actually told me yesterday, you went, I'm right on it this week.
That's because I had nothing to do.
You got a haircut, Vin? Got a haircut?
I did get a haircut, that's true, yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, you can enjoy that in the podcast.
I love it at work when somebody gets a new haircut. There's always like at least half an hour of haircut.
Everyone's got to have their own little individual little comment, haven't they?
Well, as my granddad said, and he's right, there's only 3 days between a good and a bad haircut.
Very wise.
Wise words, Harry Marr. Right, on the Evening Show podcast, I've got lots for you today. Jason Carl Fox, Foxy, the star of SAS Who Dares Wins. Vin, he's quite a formidable character.
Scares me.
Yeah, he's been a bodyguard, he's been a diver, he's been a combat swimmer. He told us all about his life in the Special Forces.
It's like a big real life action man.
You know, he's meant to come up to my house and climb a hill over New Year.
What?
Yeah, he's going to come to a Monroe in the mountains.
Right, okay.
And I'm so glad he didn't come because I think he would have soldiered on and I would have bottled it. Which would have been embarrassing.
It's apt though, isn't it?
It is apt.
You would have
apt.
Done.
What a great man. And also we did a classic album chat about Beggar's Banquet with the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that was fun.
Really good. 49 years old as well. Which
I didn't
know
that record that well either.
No, neither did I. Street Fighting Man's a great song.
Yeah, well that's the thing. So I knew the singles, but yeah. Really bluesy.
Really. Well, that's the whole background. That's how they learned to play, wasn't it? You know, before they wrote their own music, they just covered lots of brilliant blues hits. And also a bit of chat about Radiohead and Lana Del Rey, which is becoming a little bit of a contentious issue.
I love that sort of thing.
I think we've unpicked it pretty well for now. Haven't we?
Well, we can't really be the judge of that, but hopefully you enjoy it.
Hopefully you can be the judge of that. Have a little listen. This is the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. Enjoy.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is your Thursday night Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, and over the last 12 months I've had some formidable guests, imposing figures and ferocious personalities. But tonight, I've got the company of a gentleman who makes them look like mice. Jason Fox is one of the stars of SAS Who Dares Wins on Channel 4. It's in its third series, and in my opinion, it's one of the best shows on telly for years. Foxy's had an incredible, incredible life. Joined the Marines at 16, 10 years as a commando, before he passed the grueling Special Forces selection process and joined the SBS. 10 years impeccable service. I said that, nobody told me that. On the front line, and he has some incredible stories to tell. Ladies and gentlemen, Jason Fox.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having us in.
It's been a pleasure to see you. Is everything good?
Yeah, all good, mate, all good. Yeah.
So what have you been up to then? Tell me, what's happening?
Well, it's really just waiting to see the reaction from the show, really. It went out on Sunday, and it's been met with, from what I can see, is positive response. It was great fun doing it anyway. Well, it was for me, maybe not for them, but... But yeah, it's amazing. So basically just in that sort of whirlwind at the moment.
Yeah, it's exciting. So for people who haven't seen the series, Foxy, give them an idea of exactly what it's all about.
It's four of us absolutely beasting 25 young lads. Not all of them are young, actually. No, it's basically us trying to put them through a selection process that we've sort of designed between us, that we try to highlight the attributes that we look for within Special Forces soldiers. So, you know... Mm-hmm. Physical robustness, mental robustness, the ability to be flexible, the ability to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations.
It's incredible. I mean, the four other characters, so there's you, Billy Billingham, Ollie Allerton and Ant Middleton.
Yeah.
And did you know each other before you made the series? Had you come across each other on active service?
I mean, I knew Ant, I knew Ollie very well back in the day. He was a friend of mine years ago, and then he disappeared off the face of the planet for a little bit. And unfortunately for me, turned up again 3 years ago. But no, it's all good. And then Billy, I'd come across a few times in my service, but I've got to know him a lot better now since he's almost like my sort of like removed father.
Yeah. I should say Foxy's father is here.
He is here, yeah. Checking.
So I think the casting is quite an important part of it. I mean, how did you go about getting the job? I mean, that's seems to me that they've managed to get the four of you pretty well cast together.
The job, no one was looking for it. I was actually scratching around for work. I was sort of, I'd gone back into the security industry, which was, the work was hard to get hold of. I then ended up getting a job where I was looking after some crew abroad on a TV shoot, and from there did a decent job, and then this idea came up and my name was thrown around by a load of people that had come across me in the last sort of like 2 or 3 months, and I got a phone call saying, oh, do you want to do this, you know, this we got this idea, do you want to do it? And I was like, I had to think about it for a couple of days, you know. There was a lot of issues that would go with me doing that, and then in the end I thought, might as well, you know, give it a go, see how it is. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it was a lot of fun, and, you know, not really looked back since.
This is funny, because you spent so much of your life trying to keep under the radar, and then suddenly you're thrust in front of the camera, and you're recognising the street, and I've spent some time with you away from all of this, and people come up and speak to you all the time. Is that a little bit unnerving and a bit unusual?
No, I love it. Nah, I suppose it was weird, but I try not to phase myself on stuff, yeah. And just, you know, whatever happens, happens. Whatever's in front of me is in front of me, and I'll deal with it.
Yeah, I suppose it's better than being shot at and lying in a ditch and being in dangerous places.
Sometimes.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, I've got to ask you something. Apologies, this is really lowbrow, right? Not very intelligent. But I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon, right? And all the guests who come in, I ask them stories about the most famous people they've encountered in the bathroom. Mm. I wondered if you could give us your special spin on this, because I know you've just made a series called The Real Narcos.
Yeah.
Well, so did you find yourself beside Escobar and his friends?
Mm. Well, the thing is, obviously, like, I've not really been to the toilet with any famous people. I've not really been in this game that long, yeah. So... But yeah, I was in Mexico, and I was actually chatting to, I was supposed to be interviewing a guy that ran El Chapo's security for his cartel. Yeah. We were in under a bush, basically, and I needed a nervous wee. I was trying to go for a nervous wee while he's looking at me, trying to talk to me, and there's a load of Mexican Marines above us flying around in helicopters trying to basically apprehend these bad dudes. So not quite a famous person wee story, but it was up there for me. It'll always be up there.
El Chapo is a serious character as well. Was he not one of Escobar's top henchmen?
No. He ran his own cartel that's still cutting around now, called the, I think it's the Sinaloan cartel, mm-hmm. in Mexico. He's in Nick out in the States.
Right, yeah. So if you had to compare the danger of your time in Special Forces with going out and doing that series, how does it figure? How does it relate? Pretty dangerous,
yeah,
isn't it?
I mean, everything that I've been involved in over the last, say, 20 odd years has been dangerous, mm-hmm. you know, but it was a more of an alien environment for me, because obviously I'm not armed, you know. Before, with my job before within the Special Forces, I'm armed, I've got backup, there's assets that can, you know, come in and help us out, mm-hmm. aircraft, etc. On this one, it was me, cameraman, a director, and a friend of mine who I have close to me. That was it, no guns, nothing like that. And it was just completely unnerving. Very, very, a lot of dry mouth situations.
Yeah, yeah. So you still get pretty scared then? I mean, does your fear subside, or can you control it better now?
The fear's always there. It's like it's an emotion, isn't it? It doesn't go anywhere. It's part of being a human. It's just about controlling it. It's about keeping a lid on it, managing it, if anything.
All right, Foxy, I'm fascinated to know about the music you listen to when you're in the Special Forces, right? So we'll get into that in just a second, but you're a big Oasis fan, aren't you?
Yeah, big fan, yeah. Big
right,
Oasis.
Okay, let's play a bit of Oasis for Foxy right now. This is Don't Look Back in Anger on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, when I worked in newspapers, about once a month, a story would break about artists disputing plagiarism, but rarely would it be between two really well-known names. Lana Del Rey, though, has gone on record to say that Radiohead are suing her for allegedly copying parts of the band's 1992 hit song, Creep. So the copyright scrap is about her track, Get Free, from her Lust for Life album. And just as an aside, Iggy Pop was cool with that name. Anyway, Lana said, "It's true about the lawsuit. Although I know my song wasn't inspired by Creep, Radiohead feel it was and want 100% of the publishing. I thought I offered up to 40 over the last few months, but they will only accept 100. Their lawyers have been relentless, so we will deal with it in court." Oof, tough words. See what you think. This is Lana's track, Get Free.
This is my commitment, my modern manifesto. I'm doing
Hear the chord progression?
Never got the chance.
It's the same chord progression. Or similar.
And all my birds of paradise who never got to fly at night, 'cause they were caught up in the dance.
Right, so if you're Tom York and you walk past the radio and you hear that playing, your ears would prick up. So anyway, we all know the original from Radiohead. This is Creep.
When you were here before,
so close together. Very similar sort of sound, isn't it? Very
just
similar.
Like skin makes me cry.
Doesn't sound too brutal to me though, similar chord progression. And Lana has offered 40%, so she must admit, and she does admit, that it sounds familiar, right? But here's something I'd like to point out. If anyone's getting their knickers in a twist about musical similarities, Creep was actually inspired by the Holly song The Air That I Breathe. Radiohead was so inspired by the hit written by Albert Hammond and Mike Hazlewood that the duo successfully sued Thom Yorke and the band. So for copyright infringement, the liner notes of Radiohead's Pablo Honey now credit Hammond and Hazlewood as co-writers of Creep, and Hammond and Hazlewood now split royalties with the band. See what you think. Listen to this from Radiohead first. Right, you know that, don't you? So do you want to hear what the Hollies sound like? This is the Hollies version.
If I could make a wish, I think I'd pass.
No wonder it's on the sleeve now.
Can't think of anything I need.
Yep, that sounds very familiar. Now, Radiohead have denied that they're suing Lana Del Rey, but they admitted that there's been a conversation. So who knows where this one's going to end. I'd like to suggest a game of darts. It's the answer to everything.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
On Monday nights, we like to delve a little bit deeper into an album we love here at Radio X. Last year, we went through quite a few. Odelay by Beck, Different Class by Pulp, The Who and Who's Next. And I really enjoy it when we go a little bit further back, so I thought I'd do the same again tonight. The Rolling Stones, Beggar's Banquet, their ninth album, released on the 6th of December, 1968. Imagine that, having nine albums done by... before 1970, so it's nearly 50 years old. Released on Decca Records in the UK and London Records in the US, the last record released during Brian Jones' lifetime. It was a return to roots rock, a proper blues rock record following a bit of psychedelic stuff on 1967's Their Satanic Majesty's Request. Glyn Johns, who was their famous engineer, he said it was the Rolling Stones coming of age. The whole mood of the record was far stronger to me musically, he said. Brian Jones was having a bit of a rough time when they made it. He was suffering from his drug and alcohol problems, became really unreliable. He used to show up with weird instruments, apparently. He'd turn up to sessions with sitars, and the band were working on blues tunes. So Jimmy Miller, who produced the album, he'd stick him in a booth and recorded a track that they weren't going to use. So Keith Richards had to work pretty hard to fill Jones's boots. But it worked out really well. Went to number 3 in the UK, number 5 in the US, and had those brilliant tracks in it. Sympathy for the Devil, No Expectations, Parachute Woman, Street Fighting Man, and Stray Cat Blues. Prodigal Son, that was a cover of a religious blues song by Robert Wilkins. And Mick and Keith, they were wrongly credited as the writers for it, which caused a bit of a hoo-ha at the time. So the band recorded the demos in the famous London Olympic Sound Studios, and Mick Jagger to this day still lives just around the corner. And I love this little bit of detail. Charlie Watts played a portable practice drum kit on the album, and he's credited with playing the tabla as well. Bill Wyman was on double bass, Brian Jones on mellotron, Keith Richards did backing vocals and co-lead vocals, and Mick Jagger playing maracas on Street Fighting Man and Stray Cat Blues. In 1997, Rolling Stone magazine said, for the album, the Stones had gone to great lengths to toughen their sound and banish the haze of psychedelia, and in doing so they launched a 5-year period in which they would produce their very greatest records. So here we go, the classic tracks from the Rolling Stones on this brilliant album, Beggar's Banquet. Two back to back for you. I've got Sympathy for the Devil and Street Fighting Man.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X. Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
I'm Gordon Smart, and this is The Evening Show. Classic albums tonight. We're going back 50 years. What an album Beggar's Banquet was. Two songs back-to-back, Sympathy for the Devil, and that was Street Fighting Man, described as the band's most political song. It was originally called and recorded as Did Everyone Pay Their Dues, containing the same music but very, very different lyrics. Jagger allegedly wrote it about Tariq Ali after he attended a 1968 anti-war rally at London's US Embassy, during which mounted police tried to control a crowd of about 25,000 people. The song reached number 21 in the UK, and it was covered. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but I'm going to give a little spin now. It was covered by Rage Against the Machine. Listen to this. Until he said Street Fighter Man, I didn't even recognise it. There you go, Rage Against the Machine, who are, of course, very, very political. That original was a huge influence on Pete Townsend and The Who's Tommy. And get on this, Bruce Springsteen used to include it in his encores. He said that one line, "What can a poor boy do but sing in a rock and roll band?" is one of the greatest rock and roll lines of all time. Before that, I played Sympathy for the Devil, number 10 in the UK. And the working title of the song was The Devil Is My Name, having earlier been called Fallen Angels. The lyrics really focus on terrible atrocities in the history of mankind from Satan's point of view, including the trial of death of Jesus Christ. For a while, it gave the Stones a reputation as devil worshippers, which Jagger always laughed off. There are black magicians who think we are acting as unknown agents of Lucifer, and others who think we are Lucifer. Everybody's Lucifer. Well, after all, it was you and me. According to Keith Richards, the name Beggar's Banquet came from a cat called Christopher Gibbs. You can imagine that guy, can you? The album's original cover art as well, it depicted a bathroom wall covered in graffiti. You'll recognise it when you see it. Rejected by the band's record company, and it took them months and months and months to get the album out because of that fight. So that was tonight's classic album, Beggar's Banquet by the Rolling Stones. Absolutely brilliant. Another one next week.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I'm joined by a formidable gentleman, Jason Fox, from the brilliant SAS Who Dares Wins every Sunday night for the next few weeks. 9 o'clock, don't miss it. Right, Foxy?
Yeah, all good.
Now, listen, we play a lot of music on Radio X that you love, and I know it was on your playlists when you were serving in the British Forces, right?
Yeah.
Talk us through how you managed to keep yourself sane with a little bit of music on manoeuvres.
Yeah, well, I always used to have one of those little iPod shuffles. Remember the little square ones?
Yeah.
I used to keep that in my side pocket on my trousers, and whenever the opportunity rose, I'd get it out, bang it on, listen to my playlists. And
so what were you having? What were you listening to?
It's all standard, you know, Oasis, Metallica, AC/DC, right. Guns N' Roses, you know, all the sort of like Larry stuff that you'd expect lads to listen to. But
And to really paint the picture as well, we're talking about Afghanistan, Iraq, all of the world. Yeah,
all war fighting scenarios, you know, you always want to listen to a bit of music to sort of motivate you. Mm. But there'd always be the odd occasion when I'm sat on the back of the helicopter, night vision goggles on, weapon in hand, flying into what was essentially going to be a sticky situation, and this would sometimes come on.
What was that doing on your iPod shuffle in the first place, Mr. Fox?
I like a bit of cheese every now and then. I'm big into the 80s as well. So.
Well, you might as well go the full hog. What else was on there? It would maybe not help you for battle.
I don't know if you remember a lady called Carly Simon.
Carly Simon? You're so vain?
No, nobody does it better, obviously.
Because you think you're James Bond.
Exactly, yeah.
Foxy, you're some man. Now, listen, we spent a bit of time together recently on manoeuvres for Movember. So there's a serious reason to do it, right? You know, drawing and paying some attention to how men struggle with mental health issues and all that kind of stuff. But how do you think I got on, Foxy, when we were out there? Because we got a bit of a roasting, but not the proper full boona stuff, did we?
That would be a little bit out of order. But to be honest, and I'm not saying this because I'm in the studio with you now, but you were up there. You were one of the top gadgies that were running around.
I'll take that. See, he's definitely served with Scotsman, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. There's quite a few Scotsmen in the job I used to do, yeah.
What's it like when you're surrounded by sort of civilians like us doing something like that? Does it remind you of what it was like when you were 16 and joined the forces, or is it just an enjoyable process to sort of noise them up a bit?
It's good fun. I don't know, it's good. I like doing it and sort of like seeing how you start off, and then there's always a level of progression, and there's always a level of sort of like you progressing on and learning a little bit about what we used to do, and you can see the, I don't know, I think you got a lot out of it maybe.
Loads, yeah.
Yeah,
loads,
yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you can see that coming through, so, no, it's great. I enjoyed it. It's always good. Get to meet new people as well.
The obvious question, Foxy, as well, is do you miss it? Do you miss being in the services?
I used to. Yeah. I used to. Not now. I miss the lads, I miss the crack,
yeah,
and I miss sometimes doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, life moves on. You can't keep living in the past.
The closest you come to death now, Foxy, is choking on cocktail sausages with me and the Groucho, drinking posh lager.
Exactly.
Now, listen, Foxy, you've got loads of brilliant stuff coming up, right? So Sunday nights, SAS Who Dares Wins, 9 o'clock, episode 2 this week, right?
That's right, yep.
Excellent. And then you've got some other brilliant stuff. The Real Narcos coming soon, yeah?
Yeah, that's going to be out in the spring at some point, yet to be, or TBC, to be honest. But yeah, it's going to be good fun.
Amazing. And in Mexico with some really naughty boys.
Very naughty.
And I heard as well that you might be getting your skis on and heading up to see the North Pole.
Yeah, that's just come about now. It's an idea in its infancy, but sometime in April, probably skiing to the North Pole, a little bit of adventure.
Yeah. You better get fit, Foxy. Well, I know. You're putting on a bit of timber there, my friend.
It's been a big Christmas.
Foxy, it's a real pleasure to have you on the show. I think SAS Who Dares Wins is brilliant and really appreciate it. And you open up on there as well, which I admire. And that's all part of that November thing we talked about. Right, Foxy, Sunday night, SAS Who Dares Wins. What a lovely fella. Great to have him on the show.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Now, Johnny Marr and Noel Gallagher have a lot in common. They both played guitar in legendary Manchester bands, both carved out their own solo careers, and they are dedicated followers of fashion. They also happen to be really good pals. Here's a little clip of Noel talking to John Kennedy about his special relationship with Johnny Marr.
Dave was like, it needs a guitar thing and some lift towards the end. Now, when someone always says that to me, the first thing I always do is call Johnny Marr, right? Because he's one of my oldest friends, and he's very gracious with his time. And not a lot of people know this, but he's got a guitar-shaped phone in his house that only I have the number to. It's like the bat phone. And when it glows red and white, he knows it's me. Picks it up and he says, "The boy wonder, what can I do for you?" And I'm like, "I'm afraid, Batman, it's that time again, and I'll be there tomorrow."
So there you are. According to Johnny, though, he's always mistaken in the street for the middle Gallagher song. Johnny said, "I think Noel thought I was joking about this till he saw it. But if I'm walking around every week, every month, someone says, 'Are you Noel Gallagher?' I'm obviously not Noel, right? But it's because I look like a guitar player, so he's become the sort of generic term for a rock musician." Kind of understand.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Of all the music icons of the past century, Elvis fans have really, really excelled themselves by keeping his spirit alive, haven't they? One Elvis act is keeping another legacy alive as well. So from a late artist from a very different musical background. Does the name Elvana mean anything to you? It's not a deodorant or feminine hygiene products. It won't take you long to work it out. It's a combination of Elvis and Nirvana, and the music merges Elvis's unmistakable vocals with some of Nirvana's biggest anthems. For some reason, I reckon it works. Elvis did love a cover after all. So the band refer to themselves as the world's greatest Elvis-fronted Nirvana tribute. And they clearly have a sense of humour. They hail from Disgraceland, see what they've done there, and go on under the names of Elvis Cobain, Danny Cobain, Rob Novoselic, and Bobby Grohl. They do mashups and covers. Here's a little example. Here's the What do you reckon? Yeah. Kurt Cobain in a jumpsuit? I don't know. Here's another one because I enjoyed that a bit too much. This is Lithium. Yeah, yeah. Tuneful. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. For anyone who tuned in right then, that's Elvana. Elvis and Nirvana mashed up. What's frustrating now is that I want to know what Nirvana would have sounded like doing an Elvis cover. More examples on radiox.co.uk.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
If you've ever been to a Foo Fighters gig or watched footage of the band playing live, you will know that Dave Grohl is never without chewing gum. It's always flying around precariously close to his moustache. But as you can imagine, fan forums have discussed the subject at length. Everything from keeping the cigarettes at bay to straight up addiction to chewing gum have been explored. But it's actually a pretty simple explanation. A bloke called Gavin Edwards got to the bottom of it in his book back in 2006. It's called Music's Most Enduring Mysteries, Myths and Rumours Revealed. So it's all about keeping his throat and mouth oiled for all the screaming, and apparently ensures he doesn't choke and vomit. Seems like quite a sensible thing to do, really. So Dave Grohl's favourite flavour is Denton Ice, for anybody interested. And he also taught Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day how to sing and chew gum at the same time, passing on his wisdom to other bands. So here we are, Green Day now on Radio X. Wake me up when September ends.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's coming to the end of the evening show, which means it's story time. So make yourself comfortable. Producer Vin, please, can we have some appropriate music? Seems right for the story I'm about to tell you. So before I play the Libertines, I played you a bit of Stupid Girl by Garbage. Thought I'd tell you a story of talent spotting that might just give any grafted musicians listening some hope for hitting the big time. So, before Edinburgh Shirley hit the big time with Garbage, she was in a couple of great bands from her hometown in Scotland. Edinburgh, of course, the capital. Her first bit of time in the limelight was in a band called Goodbye Mr. McKenzie in the 80s and early 90s. She was in the band with a formidable guitarist called Big John Duncan, a massive bloke covered in skull tattoos. He was one of the original punks, and when Goodbye Mr. McKenzie split up, he became Kurt Cobain's guitar tech and even played in some Nirvana shows in New York around 1993. The boys apparently loved his band, Exploited, massive punk band from Edinburgh. Anyway, Shirley toured with Big John Duncan for years, and he was one of the wildest men in rock and roll, so she's got some real rock and roll heritage. And when she was in America in the 90s playing in a new band called Angelfish with some of the members of the McKenzies, a man called Butch Vig saw her performing and on the spot knew she was the singer for his new band. They are called Garbage. So there you go, a bit of Shirley history for you. It worked out very well, didn't it, in the end?
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was the Radio X Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. I hope you enjoyed that. And if you did, please leave a review and tell all of your friends. We'll be back with another edition next week. See you then.
Radio X.